see this number out this morning. We appreciate some who are visiting with us and want you to feel comfortable as you make your visit. Encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you take your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke in the 23rd chapter, that's where we'll begin our study. And while you're getting settled, we want you to know that if you have never been baptized and put on Christ in baptism, that all things have been made ready this morning. There's clothing here at the baptistry's field. If you'd come forward and let your request be made known that you want to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, we'd gladly immerse you into Christ so that you can have every sin blotted out and be made whole and right with God. If you're here and you need to be repentant of some sin and need to be restored to Christ and this church family, if you'd come forward, we'd pray with and for you that your life may be right. In the Gospel of Luke, in the 23rd chapter, begin reading with me at verse 44. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this man was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to the sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breast and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. I want you to think at this particular time when Jesus was upon the cross of Calvary, before he yielded his spirit back to the Heavenly Father, have you ever stopped to consider what Jesus saw from the cross? What was it that Jesus saw as he hung suspended between heaven and earth upon that hill called Golgotha? And if that hill is where man thinks it is today, there's a lot of things Jesus would have saw. And what I want to do is, regardless of where he was, think about on a hill near Jerusalem, outside the city wall, Jesus would have saw many things as he was crucified upon the cross. I want us to think about some things that Jesus saw, from Calvary's cross. The first thing I want you to think about is that Jesus would saw the city of Jerusalem. Jesus had prophesied about Jerusalem, and he had prophesied about the fall of Jerusalem. If you turn your Bible back to the Gospel of Matthew and the 23rd chapter, you remember where Jesus was coming into the city, and Jesus was weeping over the city. You remember in verse 37, where Jesus said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who were sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Then in chapter 24, Jesus predicts the fall of that great city, that Jerusalem would be destroyed. And therefore, Jesus, as he is up on the cross of Calvary, can oversee the great city. He could see the city that he loved. He could see the people of that city. And no doubt, Jesus' heart was breaking to know that city had not yet come to him. You remember in John chapter 1 and verse 11, it said Jesus came to his own and his own received him not. So when I take my Bible and I think about Jesus upon Calvary's cross, one thing that comes to my mind is that Jesus would look out and see the city of Jerusalem. And my heart is touched when Jesus looks at his own people, recognizing they had rejected him as their king. But there's a second thing I want to bring to your mind, that when Jesus was up on the cross, he would have seen the temple. And I've often thought about what that must have meant to the Son of the Living God. You remember when he was just a child at 12 years of age, they brought him to the temple. And it was there that he said he must be about his Father's business. And then years later, he would go to the temple to teach the people. And he would go and he would tell the people exactly what God's word was. And therefore the Son of God was not ashamed to preach in the synagogues or the temple. And thus, when I think about Jesus looking at that temple, no doubt His heart was touched to recognize how many people were going into the temple that day to keep the old law, and yet the Lamb of God was dying upon the cross. The time that Jesus was upon the cross was near the Passover. They say during the Passover season that they killed so many animals and so much animals that the blood would come out and it would even fill the Kidron Valley. And so here was an individual that looked out, Jesus the Son of the living God, and no doubt he saw the temple. No doubt he thought about the time he drove the money changers out, because they had made his father's house into a den of thieves. And Jesus was concerned about the spiritual being of all the individuals that lived at that particular time. But notice that when Jesus neared his death, it said that the sun was darkened in verse 45, and in the temple the veil was torn in two. Can you imagine those that stood in the temple who had never looked into the Holy of Holies? The only one who ever walked into the Holy of Holies was the high priest, and that once a year, that with incense before him, so he could not clearly see the glory of God. And yet when Jesus died, the veil was torn asunder. People could look into and see the Holy of Holies. And that was because now the Holy of Holies is with Jesus in heaven. But I want you to think about a third thing that Jesus saw. Jesus could look and see the Mount of Olives. And in the Mount of Olives, on the side of that great mountain, is a garden identified as the Garden of Gethsemane. And no doubt the Bible tells us that that was a place Jesus was familiar with. When Judas came to betray Jesus, you remember that he came to the garden because it was a place that he frequented. And I've often thought about Jesus looking at that garden and thinking about the disciples fleeing from him. I thought about the night he was betrayed, the night that he was kissed upon the cheek by Judas. That even after all the things that happened to him, being smacked and being punched and being spit upon, the thing that probably hurt him the most was when Judas kissed that face and planted that treacherous betrayal upon him. And from the cross, he could see the Garden of Gethsemane. But if you take your Bible, I want you to look at something else. Go with me to the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter. And when you come to the book of Matthew and the 27th chapter, look, if you will, at verse 39. At verse 39, notice that he would have watched those who passed by. People coming to the city of Jerusalem to worship. And notice that when they passed by, it says in verse 39, they blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself." They did not recognize Jesus was talking about his body. They thought he was talking about the temple Herod had built. But Jesus is telling them that in 3 days, this temple will be raised. But notice what they say again in verse 39. "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of what the devil said to him in Matthew 4. "If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself off the temple." And the Bible says that the Lord won't allow your foot to strike a stone. You'll just float down amongst the people and they'll believe you are the Christ. "If you are the Son of God, bow down and worship me and I'll give you all these kingdoms." You don't have to go to a cross. And now Jesus is on the cross and they're saying, "If you are the Son of God, prove it. We don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God because you're on a cross. God wouldn't allow His own Son to go to a cross. We don't believe your claims." And notice Jesus would have saw those who were passing by and heard their words. But also he would have heard the words of the enemies, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, the religious elite who did not like Jesus because he robbed them of their position. He took away their authority. He took away their manner of life. The people were following him instead of them, and they had become jealous of that. And thus they said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If, look at how they always say, if He's the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross and we will believe in Him. He trusted in God, let Him deliver now if He will have Him. Do you hear the sarcasm dripping? That if He is the Son of God, that He would come down. For He said, I am the Son of God. And look at verse 44. Jesus could turn His head either way. And at one particular time, both robbers were crucified with Him, reviled Him. Now, one would later repent. But at the very beginning, both of them reviled Him. Can you imagine everywhere Jesus looked, it would bring heartache. Jesus could look down from the cross and He would see the passerby saying, if you are the Son of God. He would see the chief priest saying, if you're the King of Israel, if you are the Son of God, come down. I'll tell you something, my friend. They had made up their mind. They would not believe that Jesus is the Christ. But that brings up something else in our study. Open your Bible to the book of John and the 19th chapter. And when you come to the book of John and the 19th chapter, notice that Jesus would have noticed His loved ones. As Jesus stood on the cross in verse 25, notice the statement, now there stood by the cross of Jesus His mother and His mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Can you imagine as Jesus would have looked down and would have saw the ones that He loved? That there's His mother, there's the woes that had followed Him, and even His disciple John was there. Notice, if you will, in verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved standing by, He said to His mother, Woman, behold your son. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Have you ever thought that at that time He was concerned about His mother? Have you ever thought that when Jesus was on the cross and He looked down, His heart was touched to see John there and to see His mother there? And He wanted John to take care of her? And John took her at that hour away from the cross and cared for her. But you know, there's something else Jesus would have saw from the cross. Look back again in the book of John in the 19th chapter and look, if you will, at verse 41. At verse 41, notice it says, Now in the place where He was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Have you ever thought He could even see His tomb? As they nailed Him to the cross and they left Him there, Jesus was able to look around and see His own tomb. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life in the lesson years. I want us to stop and think about something else Jesus saw. When Jesus was on the cross, He saw how close He was to going home. You know what else Jesus saw on the cross? Heaven. Because in John 19, He's going to say, it is finished. And back in Luke chapter 23, notice that He says in verse 46, Father, into Your hands I commit My spirit. And after He said that, He breathed His last. Have you ever thought that Jesus knew He would be going back to the Father? And have you ever thought how much comfort that must have gave Him after He looked around and saw all the things that this world was doing that was breaking His heart? One thing that gave Him comfort is that He was close to going home. Have you ever stopped to think, my friend, each day we live, we're a little bit closer to home? That if we're a child of God, that if we are one of His people, if we live as we should, we are one step closer to home. But secondly, when Jesus was on the cross, He saw something else. He could look down through the tunnel of time and He could see you. And He could see me. You want to know why He was on the cross? Because He loved you. He was on the cross because of your sin. He was on the cross because you had committed lawlessness. You had transgressed the law of God. And if he had not gone to the cross, you would go to hell without any hope. And what Jesus saw when he looked down from the cross is his own creation mocking him and belittling him and ridiculing him. And yet he realizes he's dying for their sins, and he's dying for your sins, and he's dying for my sins. Sometimes I'm fearful we lose concept of that. Sometimes I'm fearful we've lost the concept of how important it is to appreciate what Jesus has done. Sometimes I think we take it for granted that he had to do it. I want to tell you, my friend, he did it out of love. He could have come down from the cross. He could have called the 10 legions of angels. He could have called 10,000 angels to come. But Jesus did not do that. He stayed on the cross because he loved your soul. And I want to ask you a question. What do you see when you look at the cross? Do you see a loved one? Do you see someone that you'd be willing to die for? And before you answer, I'm going to say something, and it might make some people mad, but I don't want to say it in the wrong way. But I want to tell you something. I was really hurt by our attendance during the gospel meeting. We paid a man to come in and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and some of you did not come one time except Sunday. And then you say, oh, I love the Lord. Worship is something we should look forward to because it's an opportunity to give God glory and praise. And when I look at our numbers, I realize that it's not about numbers. But when I see a difference between how many is at Bible study and worship, it breaks my heart because we want to be here to encourage one another. You may not feel like you need encouragement. I need it. I'll tell you, it discourages me to prepare and work and study and want to be able to teach the Word of God and find that there's a lot of people that don't care about the Word of God. Do you love Him? Do you put your trust in Him? Now, I realize there may be sickness. I realize there may be issues. But I'll tell you something, my friend. A lot of it comes down to priority. A lot of it comes down to who I'm going to put first in my life. And I don't say that to be unkind. I don't say that to be ugly. I say that because I'm concerned. Do you see him as an enemy? Oh, someone may say, preacher, how can anyone see Jesus as an enemy? I'll tell you, a lot of people do. They see Jesus as a killjoy, just trying to give rules and regulations, and that Jesus is trying to steal their joy. No, my friend, everything Jesus ever said was for our good. Or do you see a passerby? How many people have passed by the cross and have never made it a priority in their life? You know, I see a tree, and I can't remember. My grandmother used to try to teach me what the trees were, but I paid no attention. So now I see a tree, I say, that's a tree. I see it maybe as an obstacle that has to be gotten around, but all I see is a tree. Now, to Jackie, who's a carpenter, he sees a tree. He may see what wood, it's cedar wood or it's oak wood or whatever wood it may be. And he says, I can build something out of that. Depending on who you are, the tree means something different. And so does the tree of Calvary. To some people, the cross is nothing but an obstacle to keep them from having the fun they want to have. And an obstacle that keeps them from enjoying life. And they say, it's just something that's in my way. I want to find a way around it. But to those that love the Lord, it's not an obstacle. It's what brings salvation. How do you see the tree of Calvary? you all remember the man, Wells, who was an actor years ago who proclaimed to be an atheist. When he was dying on his deathbed, they came in and they said to him while he's looking through the Bible, "You don't believe in God, what are you looking for?" He said, "Loopholes, my friend, loopholes." That's what a lot of people want in life. A loophole. Jesus didn't give you a loophole. He gave you a cross. And my friend, that is sufficient. What do you see when you look at the cross? If I've said anything in an unkind manner, I beg your forgiveness. But I pray that you understand I said it from a heart of love. That we start putting God first. Because if He's not first in our life, then whatever it is that is first, that's our God. May we go back to see Jesus on the cross. If you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come this morning as together we stand and sing. We cordially invite you.